We've been going through a series. I believe there's something that the Lord wants to deposit in our hearts today that's a now word. And I want it's a call to fast. If you're here today and you've never heard what it means to fast, we're going to talk about that today. And I feel this sense of the Lord, more than feel, I know that the Lord is calling us as a church to enter into a fast, and I'm going to explain to you what I feel the fast is, and I'm going to ask you, if you're sensing in your heart that you're to walk in this season of this fast, then you do that. But it would be irresponsible for me to call the church to a fast and not take time to explain to you what a fast is, or why we should do it, or how does it benefit me? You know, what good is it if I don't understand it? And so we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to look in the book of Matthew chapter 17, so you can go ahead and turn there. We'll start at verse 14 in just a moment. In a little while, I'm probably going to jump over to Psalms real quick, but I've got a number of verses in the outline. If you're here and you're new, this is going to be a little bit, if you're visiting us, you're our guest, first and foremost, I'm glad you're here. I hope you feel welcomed. You feel like, oh, it's like sitting on a comforter, you know, a couch that you just love. I hope you feel welcomed here. But I will say that this is going to be a unique Sunday, as we don't normally talk about something like this or do something like this, but I believe the Lord is calling us as a church to a fast. I believe, this is just Jim now, I believe that he's in the midst of calling the church into a season of fasting, but I can't speak to the whole the church in the world, but what I can do is speak what I believe the Lord is saying to Church of the Open Door. And I believe he's calling us to a season of fasting, which is saying no to something in the flesh because there's something of a greater desire, a breakthrough that you need to see, that I need to see in the spiritual realm. And the fast that I believe God is calling us to is a 40-day fast. It's a 40-day fast from social media and from whatever avenue that the worldly news tries to give us. Now, having said that, some of you that love to watch news right now are puckering a little bit. You're taking that away? I'm not taking anything away. A fast is when the Lord is calling you to walk in agreement with that, and you are choosing whether you are going to walk in agreement with that or not. But I believe that as a pastor, the Lord has placed on my heart to call the church to a season of fasting for 40 days. From what? From social media. And I say worldly news. I'm trying to be very careful, knowing that we're online, trying to be very careful about throwing out all the acronyms that are going through my head right now. But it's about everything the world has to say about how this world is going or should go, so that we can see a breakthrough and gain what God has to say and not just what the media or the world has to say. It comes back to Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, saying no to the world and saying yes to God so that you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what we're doing is we're calling a fast to say, we're going to put aside social media. And after church, I had a number of people come and ask me, Pastor, so this fast, how should I do this? And you have questions. I hope you feel free to come and ask me. Ask Pastor Lisa. Ask the staff. You can email and text if you got questions. But as I said, it would be irresponsible to talk or to call a fast and not explain, what does that mean biblically? How does that play out? What does it look like? And why should I do it? Well, there was two lumberjacks who were chopping down trees. They had axes and they were going at it. One of them was an older gentleman and then there was a younger gentleman. They were working hard at that all day and they were chopping down trees, swinging away, and the older gentleman was working away. The younger one felt kind of cocky, you know what I mean? Because he had youth on his side and he started to say, I think I can chop down more trees than you, old man. And the old man, with all the wisdom and sage, just kept chopping, didn't say a word. And he kept running his mouth, that young guy. And finally he says, I think I could beat you. I'll bet you I can chop down more trees in one day than you can. To which the old man looked and said, I'll take that bet. And they started working away, and that young guy went to town. I mean, he had youth, he had strength, he had vigor, and he started chopping trees all day long. Now, the old man, he would chop a tree for an hour, and then he'd sit down and take a 15-minute break. Then he'd get up and chop for another hour, sit down for 15 minutes. Chop for another hour, sit down for 15 minutes, and he did that all day long. And the young man was positive he was going, I mean, this guy's taking a break 15 minutes every hour. There's no way he could chop more trees down than I could. But at the end of the day, when they tallied up the scores, they found out the old man chopped down more trees than the young man did. To which the young man was flabbergasted. He said, how can this be? I watched you. I'm younger. I'm stronger. I'm faster. And not to mention, you took a break every 15 minutes. To which the older man said, yes, but every time I sat down, I sharpened my axe. You see, I believe the church, God is calling the church to a fast. And what that means is it means we're sharpening the axe, because there's so much in this world that we want to see the Holy Spirit cut through, but it's not going to happen until we sharpen the axe. Fasting is one of the tools that God gave us to be able to connect and see a spiritual breakthrough in an earthly realm. If you've heard just a little bit about fasting, you may equate it to starvation. You know, I gotta deny myself of something like this because I gotta have something greater from God. Well, if that's your motive and that's your heart, that's not fasting. Fasting is when, as we'll see in just a moment, when you need to see a breakthrough. And I believe in this world today, we need to see a breakthrough like we've never seen before. Would you agree with that? We need to see the power of the Holy Spirit show up in a mighty way. This isn't about being religious or fanatic. This is about understanding that the Word of God said, why are y'all shocked? I told you this craziness was coming. And because I told you it was coming, I gave you everything you needed to combat it. So why are we so afraid? Why are we so anxious? Why are we so worried? Well, the reality is because in this world we have, you know, trials and tribulations. Those are scary. But be of good cheer. Why? Because God gave you the tool belt you need to make it through this world. Now, there's a lot that's going on in this world today. We've got November that's fastly approaching. We've been battling the coronavirus. And that's just on top of everything else that's going on in your world and in your life. And last week, I felt such a strong presence, it was just a knowing. I could have said, our God is an awesome God, amen. And though we believe it and we know it, we were all like, amen. And we had this exhausted, tired, worn out, defeated kind of a look. Can you identify with that? Have you sensed over the last few months, it's like you have less gas in the tank. There's not as much energy. It feels like it's always an uphill battle. And I believe, and this is just Jim again, okay? I want to clarify, especially for anybody online and listening here, that this is just my opinion. My opinion is simply, it appears to me to have been a tougher 6 months for Christians than it has been for those who do not know the Lord. Simply because those that do not know the Lord don't know the Lord. They don't have that information, or maybe it's that they don't really care, just whatever. But for the Christian that we're told to live by faith and not by fear, it's been this tug of war battle that's just constantly drained us and wore us out till we get to this depleted state where we say, I just don't even know what to do anymore. Well, I'm here to tell you today, the Lord, I believe, is calling us to a fast because you and I need to see a spiritual breakthrough. We need to see a breakthrough. Maybe you're here today and you need to see a breakthrough in your relationship. Maybe it's a personal breakthrough. But I believe today, this is what we would call a corporate fast. It's a fasting together. The Lord calling us together to fast for a specific purpose. The purpose is for the breakthrough. What we're fasting is we're fasting social media, and we're fasting anything from news. Am I saying that you can't watch TV? No, watch TV. Listen to your music. I'm talking about news. I'm talking about media. People have asked me, can I listen to CBN, TBN, or whatever the other Christian broadcasting networks are? We can talk more about that in detail, but my simple answer is this. Allow the Holy Spirit to be your gauge. I believe the Lord is calling us to fast the media from the world, say no to the world, to fast social media. So if you're watching a Christian broadcasting network and they start talking about politics for about 30 minutes and they haven't stopped, and the Holy Spirit, and you're going, you know, I wonder if this is kind of maybe crossing the line. You're probably feeling that because the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Now you can do something about it. But again, what does it mean to fast? And why should I do it? This call to fasting is about addressing a hunger that we have, that is something that is on the inside. We do to our inner man what we would never do to our outer man. What do I mean by that? We do to our spiritual lives what we would never do to our physical lives. For example, when you're hungry, what do? Eat. You feed yourself. The body says, I'm hungry. How do you know when you're hungry? Your stomach growls. Why does your stomach growl? Because there's no food present. And all of a sudden, you make a way out of no way to go get some food, don't you? And you go eat something because the body says, I'm hungry. And if you've gone without food long enough, you will eat almost anything, won't you? All of a sudden, that which seems unsandwichable becomes sandwichable. All of a sudden, that mac and cheese isn't just kind of there. And, you know, when I was young, I ate that because that's all I ever wanted. Now it's on the shelf and in dire need, I'll pull that out. All of a sudden, if you don't have much on the shelves, all of a sudden that pack of ramen noodles becomes so precious because you're so hungry, but that's all I have to eat. You will eat whatever's necessary. You will feed yourself. You will feed your spirit, or you will feed your flesh. But the question is will you feed your spirit? Fasting is a way that we do that. And when I began to study about fasting, I was amazed at how dominating it was in the Word of God. It's all over the place in the Bible. And whenever there was a crisis, a calamity, a difficulty, the people who needed to see God move fasted. They fasted. Now, that can mean a lot of different things. First service, somebody came up and said, man, as soon as you started talking fasting, I thought, I'm not going to be able to eat some food now. But fasting's not always about food. Not always about food. And we're going to find out how this works and how the Lord calls us to these places. But again, I'm presenting to you today a 40-day fast of laying down something in the flesh so we can see God move in the Spirit. Now, let me give you a little bit of warning here. If today, I know right now, some of you are like, I'm in, I'm doing this. And some of you are going, I don't know, I want to hear a little bit more. And there's some of you that are going, I'll say yes on the outside, but on the inside, I can't do it. That's between you and God. I'm just telling you what I believe the Lord is calling the church to do. I can't arm wrestle you into it. I can't make you do it. But I can definitely tell you what I hear the Holy Spirit saying. This is where we're going. Do y'all want to jump on board? Because if you want to see a breakthrough, you go where God goes. You don't go where you go. You can do that, but then you'll wonder why I'm not seeing things happen or move in my life. So let me give you the warning, though. Here's the warning. When you agree to walk in this and commit to the fast, there's going to be almost like some withdrawals, okay? Kind of like the person who's a caffeine addict, and they got to have their coffee, or they got to have their energy drink, or they got to have their soda. Once you take it away, they're like, I can give it up. But then after about 24 hours, they start twitching, and their eyes blinking, you know, and they're like, I need my coffee, you know, and they have these withdrawals, and they start getting grouchy and irritable, you know. The same applies when you fast. Why? Because you're saying no to the flesh. Well, we don't tell our flesh no. That's part of our problem. That's more than part of our problem. Is when you learn to say no to the flesh, that's one thing, but then you've got to say yes to God. That's what fasting does. So I'm giving you a warning. If you agree to this, there's going to be some withdrawals, you know, especially if you're kind of a news junkie and you love to hear what's going on and you're always got something in your ear, or you're always watching something, you know, that's going to be hard. Again, I'm not saying you can't watch any media, watch TV, listen to the radio, but here's what somebody asked me. They said, well, what about podcasts, Pastor? Hey, if you can find somebody that's speaking with a biblical basis, a foundation that continues to bring it back to the Word of God, and they talk about anything that has to do with what's going on in the world, then fine, because they're bringing it back to the Word of God. That's different than our specific radio and TV shows that are out there that are focusing just on one thing, and that's what the world says. And that is what we're fasting. That is what we're setting aside. But when you do that, there might be some effects there. You may catch yourself slipping. Oh, Pastor, what if I do it and I forget and I just turn the TV on? Turn it back off. Well, what if I pick up a newspaper and I look at it? Put the newspaper down. Well, what if I already read three pages? Well, then you read three pages. Put it down. If you catch yourself going, oops, just put it down. Don't beat yourself up. There's no condemnation here. Happened to me all the time. I fasted sweets. That was like trying to hold your breath for 7 days. And I'd find myself eating something and I go, oh, I forgot. You know, I could have said, I'm such a loser. I'm such a failure. I didn't do that. I ate it. I'm sorry. And I started once again, you know. But we're doing this for a reason. Let me bring it back to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 9, verse 15 says this. And I'm going to jump all over some scripture today. Hopefully, I'm going to get through it all. But I put a bunch of verses in there because I want us to see what God has to say. Matthew chapter 9, verse 15 is talking about when the disciples came and they had somebody they prayed for that couldn't be healed, couldn't be delivered. They brought him to Jesus. They thought it was just a physical manifestation of some ailment that was going on. But as we see, when Jesus addresses it, there is a spiritual demonic thing that's taking place. And it says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 15, I get the wrong scripture. I'm going to get to that story I just told you about in a moment. Matthew 9:15 says, this is talking about the bridegroom, says, can the bridegroom, as a matter of fact, let's read this one together, okay? You ready? Go. Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. I never remember seeing that before. It says, once the bridegroom goes, then the church, the people will fast. Let me tell you, folks, the bridegroom is gone, physically speaking. He's gone. And this is an age when the absence of the bridegroom should provoke us to fasting as a people. Because here's what fasting is. Fasting can be called the gateway to spiritual victory. It can be the gateway to spiritual victory. So what is it that we need to know about fasting? I'm going to give you four things, and then I'll get back to the story that I kind of set you up for. Number one, write this down. It's in your outlines. Fasting communicates our desperation to see God move. Fasting communicates our desperation to see God move. We already read, or we're going to read here in just a moment, Matthew 17, about what took place when Jesus, they brought before him somebody that was demon-possessed, had a physical ailment. This is in Matthew 17, verse 14. And it says, when they had come to with the multitudes, a man came to him, kneeling down at him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and he suffers severely. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I bear with you? How long shall I be with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. It was because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And then here it is, 21. However, he said, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. It takes both, by prayer and fasting. In other words, what Jesus was trying to communicate to them was that the mountain in this scripture wasn't a physical mountain. The mountain was a boy. In this context, it was a father who believed that his son was crazy or was a lunatic. And the disciples said, how come we couldn't do anything about it? How come we couldn't address it? You know, many of us are facing problems and we wonder, why can't the doctor fix it? Why can't the psychologist, you know, help me get out of this situation? Why can't this problem be reversed? And Jesus answers, sometimes these mountains can only be removed by prayer and fasting. In other words, it's not just about the hand of God, but it's about us working in cooperation with God to see the mountain move. The disciples were flabbergasted at that. You know, we could spend all of our money on psychologists and doctors, and we could have perfect church attendance, but when the Lord calls you to do something, to walk in obedience, I think you would agree with me that simply walking in obedience is probably the best way to go. Amen? It's the best way to go. In Zechariah chapter 7, the prophet was talking about fasting, and he said this, that the Lord said, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? He says, when you eat and when you drink, did you not eat and drink for yourself? He asked them. When you eat, you and I, by the way, how many of you know that when we eat for ourselves? Did you know that? Come on, think about it. Just be real with me. It's okay. There's no trick question here. When you and I eat, we eat for ourselves. Typically, usually, if I were to ask where you're going for lunch today, you would start thinking about the things you like, the places you want to go. Now, you will consider what your wife wants or your children want or whatever, but ultimately, you eat what you eat because you like it. And so you focus in on that. And one of the things we have to make sure or understand is that when we eat, we're doing it for us. I'm a food junkie, okay? I love going to little restaurants. I love holes in the walls. We go on trips and travels. Lisa may plan it according to malls and IKEAs, where I will plan it to restaurants. And I love Cracker Barrels and Olive Gardens and Applebee's, but what I really love is finding the hole-in-the-wall restaurants. You know, they can be sketchy at times, I get it, but sometimes that's where you find your best food. I'm a foodie. I eat for me. You know? When pot roast, I told you, I love pot roast. When pot roast is cooking, that thing permeates the whole house. It just smells great. And when I sit down with my plate of pot roast, the last thing I'm thinking about probably is work or getting a chore done or doing anything else except eating this beloved manna that's in front of me. That's what I'm thinking about. Because when I eat for me. I grew up with a couple friends, the Dierks brothers. And I remember the first time I went out to their house to eat. They all sat around the table, four boys, dad and mom, and they're all farm boys, you know. And we sat down and they were getting ready to pray. And my friend Dave looked at me and he says, "When they say amen, start grabbing for food or you won't get any." And sure enough, they said amen and everybody threw down. Fists are flying, corn in the cob going one direction, steak over here. That food was gone, baby. I had to fight for some existence there. When I was growing up as a kid, we'd sit around the table. And we pray, you know, let's say mom put some chicken on the table. What do? You look at the chicken and you look for the biggest piece of chicken, right? And so, but in our house, what we had to do was we got to pray before we eat and we got to join hands. That's the way we did it. So I don't know why we did it, but you know, I did it because mom and dad told me to. I think we kind of did it so that they wouldn't see me grabbing chicken while they were praying is what I think. You know, because here's what I'd do as a kid, grab their hands and they'd say, "Dear Jesus," and I would leave one eye open like that. So half of my eye, you know, half of my face was praying to God, and the other half was eyeballing the biggest piece of chicken. Because I wanted to see where that thing was, because as soon as amen was thrown down, my hand was going for the biggest piece of chicken. In Jesus' name, amen. Not snatch that chicken. I got it. Why? Because I eat for me. I eat for me. You see, you are never more, I'm going to make a comment, don't read into it too much. You and I are never more self-absorbed than when we're eating. Now, don't take that the wrong way. "He just called me self-absorbed. That rotten, dirty little pastor. What's he thinking?" No. Don't take it the wrong way. But you and I, our human nature, are mostly self-absorbed when we are eating. Whether it's eating because I'm hungry, or we're in a diet, we're thinking about what we want the outcome to be, we're never more self-absorbed than when we're eating. What's my point? Well, we just read Zechariah. He said that's the whole point of verse 6. When you eat, he said, you do it for yourself. Verse 5 says, but when you fast, you do it for me. When you eat, that's for you. But when you fast, that's for me, God. Eating is for you. Fasting is for God. So when I need God more than I need me because I can't fix me, then I've got to do God's way. And that's why he'll call us to a season of fast. Fasting is simply this, if I were to define it, and it's in your outlines there. Fasting is the deliberate abstinence from physical gratification for a greater spiritual goal. That was a mouthful. I'm going to say it one more time. Fasting is the deliberate abstinence from physical gratification for a greater spiritual goal. It's saying no to everything you want, I want, because we want to wait for God's best. In other words, because I need to see the invisible realm manifested in a physical way, and I can't do it on my own. I can only do it God's way. Then I've got to do it the way God prescribes it. And the way he prescribes it is when he calls for a fast. It's not very uncommon to us. Many business people, when they're out making deals and they're stressed and they're worried and they're buying up a business and they're growing, they will go all day long without eating because they're focused on the work that they're doing and the contracts that they have to sign and the phone calls they got to make. They understand it wasn't spiritual what they did, but they gave up eating for a greater goal. We understand that here. But God says, I want you to give up something in the physical for the immediate gratification so that there can be a breakthrough in your life that you need to see. It could be anything. It could be something that your kids are going through and you need to see a breakthrough. Maybe the Lord will call you to fast. Maybe it's something spiritual. Maybe it's something relational. But you've got to do it the way God has called you to do it. You got to do it only if God has called you to do it. Let me use this example. Let's say that you're here and you want to be married, okay? You're here and you're single and you're saying, I want to be married, so this sounds pretty good. I think I'll fast for a husband or I'll fast for a wife. Only do it if God called you to, okay? It's not about putting God in a box or backing him into a corner and saying, God, I want a husband, I want a wife, therefore I'm going to fast so I can see a breakthrough, so I'm going to make you do this. That doesn't work. All you're going to end up is living with somebody you don't really like. You know. But if God has called you to fast for that mate, then you do it because you're walking in obedience. Relationships, they're challenging too, just like singleness is. So what makes all the difference in the world? Knowing that you have an ear to hear the Lord. Fasting is a way that causes a breakthrough in the spiritual realm, but you've got to have a good foundation. You see, when you need to see a breakthrough, you need to make sure you're building on the right thing. If you go to Chicago, you go look at a bunch of those buildings. We took some of our missionaries there. It's been about a year now ago, and we took them to the Sears Tower, which I don't think it's called the Sears Tower anymore, but, you know, the big tall building, one of the many. You know, you can stand out there and you can look down, and if you're afraid of heights, that's not very cool, but those buildings are impressive, aren't they? You can go up in them and you can be in them, but they can only be as impressive as they are because of the foundation that they have underneath. I'll guarantee you that the Sears Tower was not built on the foundation of a chicken coop. Why? Because a chicken coop could not handle the size of that building. But yet many times we want skyscraper lives, but we're unwilling to build a foundation that could withstand or uphold that kind of a building in our life. Some of us want a breakthrough in our life, and God wants to give it to you. It's not about do you want it or does God want to give it. It's are you going to walk in agreement with the way He's prescribing it. For this particular season in life, I believe the Lord's calling us to a fast. Maybe you've got something else in your life that you need to see a breakthrough in, and the Lord's speaking to you about that. A fast is a tool in the hands of God that walks in agreement so that you can see a breakthrough in your life. You see, in God's economy, the spiritual always precedes the physical. It always precedes it. The visible problem, the answer seems invisible, and for that invisible solution to become visible in your life, you need something that's going to hook you up to the promises of God. That right there is fasting. That's fasting. So, if all you ever hear is fasting means I got to starve, you've missed the motive of what God's trying to get. If you hear fasting and you hear suffering, you know, though it takes some self-discipline, you miss the motive of the heart. So fasting is giving up something, a craving in the of the flesh because of something greater in the spirit that you want to see. And it communicates how desperate you are to see God move in your life. Here's number two, write this down. Fasting gains God's unique and undivided attention. His unique and undivided attention. Now, we're going to look at Isaiah here in just a moment. And the Lord has something to show us about this whole thing. And even through Zechariah, Isaiah verse 4 says, you don't fast for the right reason. Well, what is the right reason? The reason you fast is not to make your voice known. The reason you fast is to make the Lord's voice known. When you fast, you don't fast so you can tell God what needs to be done. You fast so that God tells you what needs to be done. To put it another way, God, when you fast, God pays particular attention to what it is that you are asking of Him. But when you fast correctly, know this, you have God's undivided attention. His undivided attention. Well, are you telling me that God didn't pay attention before? No, God paid attention before, but He pays attention in a unique way that He never did before. You're saying, I want to be closer to God. I want to be more like Him. I want to see Him work and move in my life. Well, then draw closer to Him. How do I do that? I go to church, but sometimes it's more than just going to church. It's more than just reading your Bible. It's when the Lord calls you and says, you want a breakthrough in your life? Fast. That gets my undivided attention in such a unique way. And then God shows up. See, you and I have been seated in heavenly places, the Bible tells us. Amen? You know that? The Bible tells us you and I have been seated in heavenly places, but I believe, and our position is in Christ. But I believe sometimes we forget where our chair's at. And sometimes we forget. We're not of this world. We're not of the flesh. We are ambassadors for Christ. This is not home. Earth is not home. Heaven is home. And so when you do things the way that God prescribes, people will look at you different. People will question you and wonder why you think the way you think or do what you do. But when you position yourself in heavenly places, it may seem like a foreign concept because we never have taken the time to humble ourselves before, but God has something fresh and new to say about that. By fasting, God says, you have my attention. How many of y'all have ever wanted God's full attention? How many of y'all ever wanted your kids' full attention? Right? Let's just start there. God wants that same thing with you and with me. You see, he says, we are so valuable. And you and I know that we were created from the dirt of the ground, right? Yeah. Right? Genesis. It says that God bent down, scooped up, got some dirt. Did you know, I Googled it. I'm not a scientific person, so I didn't have time to go and study out the elements. But how many of you know that one scoop of dirt, when you look at the nutrients or the elements or just whatever's in there, you want to know how much that's worth? $3.75. $3.75 for a scoop of dirt, depending on how big your hand is, right? And it depends on what kind of dirt you get. It might be like $3.50. So on your best day, on my best day, we're worth $3.75. What made us valuable, so valuable, that Jesus Christ says he would die for us? You want to know what it was? It's when the Bible says that God blew the breath of life into us. That's when we became valuable. He just, and the Word of God says, he breathed life into our nostrils. And when he did, all of a sudden, life became so precious that God would send his son Jesus to die for us. That's what makes all the difference in the world. Yet we still have struggles in this world. And we know that our body will die. Listen, folks, this body's not going to last forever. Why is it that we pay so much attention to what's going on the outside of the body without ever giving attention to what's most valuable on the inside? The very Spirit of God. This eventually is going to wrinkle. Hopefully not too soon, right? We hope not. But even if it does, have we given attention on the inside? Have we said, Lord, what's most valuable is, and we talked about relationships, or we talked about breakthroughs in our life, or growing in our relationship with Christ, or where we stand and reminding ourselves where we're seated, or do we focus on the cars that we have, the money that's in the bank, how big our house is, what city, town we live in, you know? We've got to make sure that we prioritize that correctly. The purpose of a fast, by the way, is to humble our hearts, to bring us back to look at what's most valuable. What's most important? The purpose is to humble yourself before God, that there might be a breaking of the outer shell so that there can be something greater on the inside take place. We live in Iowa. We understand the concept of forming. When you plant a seed in the ground, what happens? Well, what happens is the outer shell of the seed eventually what? Breaks away, and what's on the inside takes root, and it brings forth life that eventually brings forth fruit that benefits others, right? And it's the same thing that God is calling us to. He says, in your walk with Christ and that with the principle of fasting, what you are doing is you are saying, I so desperately need to see something happen on the inside that breaks through this outer shell of the flesh that says, I've arrived when I have enough money or it's about status. No, I need something much greater inside. That's going to break through, that's going to bring life and have some deep roots that benefits not only me, but benefits others. You see, the moment you start fasting that way, and the moment you start giving God and you start blessing others, the more you're going to see God bring blessings into your life because he knows he can trust you with it and that you'll steward it well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It's down here at the bottom. Let's read this one together. I like this verse. Ready? Go. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love how they put it in Thessalonians. It says, so that we, spirit, soul, and body. They didn't say body, soul, and spirit. They had their priorities right. They said what's most valuable and most important is to not live life backwards, living life according to the flesh first. By living to the Spirit. When you fast, you recalibrate that. You recalibrate. Let me put it this way. How many of you like hot buttered microwave popcorn? We have any popcorn eaters here today in the house or watching online? Whatever brand it is you like, the theory is the same. You put it in the microwave, and what happens is all of a sudden the pressure of the magnetron tube from the microwave comes upon the popcorn and starts to heat it up. And inside that kernel of corn, there's a pressure, there's a moisture that starts to build, and the pressure begins to build up inside the kernel of corn to where it starts to, I can't hold it any longer, until all of a sudden what's on the inside pops out, and you have your kernel of corn, right? It's exactly what God is saying, that when you and I fast, the way he's called us to and with the right motives, you're saying, Lord, I need something to move that's going to break forth in my life. And you may feel times where all of a sudden the pressure's on, but God's stirring something up to where you can't hold it, you can't handle it anymore, and all of a sudden something pops through and transforms your life. That comes through the process of fasting. Fasting provides a way of a breakthrough in the external so you can have growth on the internal. You know, in Mexico, there's a lot of Aztec ruins that are there. And there's one specific one that if you go and visit it, it leads to a seaside cavern. It's very beautiful to see. I've seen a picture, that's it. But here's one of the reasons. To get to that place, there's a little hole in like a cave that you have to crawl through. You can't get to it any other way, but you have to crawl through this hole. So if you want to see the beauty that's on the inside, you have to be willing to get down on your hands and knees and crawl through a path to get to this place that's so beautiful. Same thing happens in our search for what the Lord has for us through the process of fasting. The question will remain simply, are you willing to get down on your hands and knees and humble your heart and say, God, I need more of you. I'm so desperate for a breakthrough. Number three, write this down. When we're talking about fasting, know that fasting is intentional and communicates a desperate need to hear from Him. It communicates a desperate need to hear from Him. I'm going to flip over to Psalms chapter 69. I don't know if I put that in your outlines or not, but Psalms chapter 69 comes from the psalmist. And here's what he has to say to us when he went through the process of fasting. Starts in verse 10. And it says, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. I also made sackcloth my garment and became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate speak against me, and I'm the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitudes of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me not be delivered from those who hate me. And out of the deep waters, let not the flood waters overflow me, nor let the deep water swallow me up, nor let the pit shut its mouth over me. Now, let me back up and just show you. He's entered into fasting and he says here, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. People started to make fun of me. People started pointing out, you know, what are you doing? You see, fasting is something that you're doing and it's between you and God. It's not about gaining all the glory. What's the purpose of the fast? The purpose, is it to glorify God or to glorify you? You know, you don't wave a sign and say, fasting right here. Hey, me, I'm fasting. You know, that's not the way it goes. He says, when you fast, you'll go through the seasons where, verse 13 says, he says, I want to hear from you, is what the psalmist says. I want to hear from you. And the sackcloth represents the humbling of his heart. It says he became a byword. And it means it didn't make sense to people when they looked at him and said, what's going on with you? You know, and they didn't understand why he was fasting. And he didn't need them to understand. What did he need? He needed to obey the Lord when he knew the Lord was calling him into a fast. Because he was saying, Lord, I need to hear from you. Is anyone sinking here today? Verse 14, he asked that question. He says he's feeling the flood waters coming in over him. So he says, oh Lord, rescue me and don't let the pit shut its mouth on me. He's crying out for a breakthrough through the avenue of fasting. And God will always respond to that. Fasting is intentional. It's coming before the presence of God and saying, I desperately need to hear from you. How many of you here today, please don't raise your hand or feel like you need to say amen or anything, but how many of you here today desperately need to see a breakthrough in your individual life, in your family, in your walk with the Lord, in your job, in your finances, whatever that means? We as a church are calling for a corporate fasting because we're addressing the need to see a breakthrough of the love of Jesus and to see Him breakthrough in our world today in a mighty way. That's why we're walking in this. But maybe you're saying, I need a breakthrough in an individual way. Then maybe the Lord's going to call you to a fast. Joel chapter 2 says this, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm. Who knows if He will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind Him? A grain offering, a drink offering for the Lord your God. blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast. That's what we're doing here today. Call a sacred assembly. He says, don't rend your garments, rend your heart. What they would do in Old Testament days to show they were in mourning is that they'd tear their clothes. And he's saying, don't tear your clothes. Don't walk around letting everybody know your business. It's between you and me. He says, don't rend your clothes, rend your heart. Don't go and tell everybody about what it is that you're doing. Come and talk to me. And just commit to this process of fasting and watch what God will do. I believe so many of us here today need to see something happen. Maybe it's in your marriage, and fasting is the key. Maybe it's to change the way that you're thinking. Maybe it's the work situation you're in. Maybe it's because of the coronavirus thing that we've been dealing with for months. Maybe it's because you see the political scene that's coming down the pike. Maybe it's because of a relationship. All I know is this, that when the Lord calls you to a season of fasting, it's not because he might breakthrough. He might have something there for you. It's because it's already there waiting for you to walk in that agreement with him. He wants us to walk in agreement with him. There's two things we need to know. Letter A and B in your outline. When we do go through this season right here of fasting, write down the word penitence and praise. We need to be a people that our penitence is basically or simply this. It's coming before the Lord and saying, forgive me. Lord, as I'm going through this process of fasting, I'm asking you to reveal to me and to show me maybe even the areas in life I'm not aware of. Things that I'm doing that aren't right, that you don't agree with. Lord, show me so I can be repentive over that, that I can repent over that. But then also, he says, get your praise on. We're to be a people of praise. When you're going through fasting, praise him. We've always said that worship is our warfare. Amen? He says, it's our warfare. You read in 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat, it was facing the enemy, and the Bible says that he fasted. And when he fasted in face of the enemy, his life and limb were in danger. It says it was such a traumatic situation. He said, I'm fasting. And then it says that he got on his knees and he praised. He prayed. You and I would have been calling for help. You and I would have been coming up with strategies. What did he do? He called for a fast and he praised. See, make sure that you take time to get alone with God and praise him, to thank him, to worship his name. Because when you tell him how big the mountain is, that's when he tells you how big he is compared to the mountain that you're looking at. And he gives you his proper perspective. We must be willing to do that. And the last one is this. When we come to fasting, know that number four, fasting God's way gains God's results. It gains God's results. You may ask the question, what can I expect when I fast? Say, what is it that I can look towards? Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 9 is a familiar portion of Scripture. And I'm gonna highlight a couple spots of it. But go and read that, because this is where it says, is this not the fast that I've chosen for you? And he goes through. In other words, God says, I have a prescribed method. I will show you how it is that I want you to fast. And the question, you know, maybe we ask sometimes is, who should fast? Well, the answer is anybody in here that's got things they're doing wrong and they want to do them right. They want God's perspective. They want to see a breakthrough. That can be anything in life. I remember one of my first fasts I ever did was when we first came to staff here at the church. I don't know what I was when I first came here, an assistant, I didn't know where I fit, but I knew this. And some of you may have been here that worked with the youth, I don't know, but you know, we had some volunteer help, but there was nobody that could really give their full time. And so that bothered me. There's about 20 teenagers, and they had nobody that was really devoted to them. And so I felt the Lord called me to fast for an answer, and I did. And so I fasted. I don't remember exactly what it was or exactly how I did it, but I remember doing it. And at the end of the fast, unbeknownst to me, he gave me the answer, but it wasn't the answer I was expecting, because he tapped me on the shoulder and said, Tag, you're it. He says, I'm calling you to be that pastor. Anybody that's willing to care that much that they'll fast for 20 teenagers, you're the one I want to pastor them. And I said, Lord, had I known that, I probably wouldn't have fasted. You know, you're calling me to do it. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't think I can do it. But you see, I didn't realize that process of the fast included the answer. What's my point? When you fast, you're not just putting yourself in a situation that says, the more miserable I am, the more spiritual it is. That's not what fasting is. It's in the process of fasting, disciplining yourself, saying no sometimes to something you crave in the physical realm because you want to see something happen here. doesn't have to be miserable. But in that process is also the answer. You just don't see it yet. You don't know it yet, but God's prepared it. He's put it there for you. In verse 6 of Isaiah, he said, here's what will happen when you fast the way that God prescribes. He says in verse 6, I will break every yoke. That means any heaviness that you have, he says, I will break it. Why? Because the flesh has to submit to the Spirit of God. For some of us, this may be the first time experiencing this, but when the flesh submits to the Spirit, that's the thing that you've been doing to try to appease yourself. It's the thing you've been trying to you've been watching, or you've been taking, or you've been whatever, to fill that gap. God says, when you let me fill that gap with my Spirit, the flesh has to surrender, and I will break that yoke that's upon your life. It also says in verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see them naked and you cover them? What's the point there? It says, when you fast the way that I call you to, not only will I break that yoke of oppression and heaviness, but I will be your provider. See, you can't give people bread unless you have bread, right? You can't bring people into a house that you don't have. You can't share anything with somebody that you don't, first of all, have yourself. In other words, God's saying, when you fast the way I call you to fast, I will bring a breakthrough that will bring a blessing into your life that's not just for you, but is also there for others. It's also there for others. He puts that up on our heart and life. Verse 8, he says, your light shall break forth as the dawn. Your recovery will be speedily, and it will come forth. He says, your righteousness shall go before you. He says, the glory of the Lord will appear as your rear guard. These are all the things that God does for you when you walk in agreement with him and do this process of fasting. And then in verse 9, it says, and this is the bottom line of it all, when you do the fast that God chooses for you, he says, then you will call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall call, and he will say, here am I. Say that with me. Here am I. How many of you would love to hear the words of the Lord say, here am I. Here am I. You cry and say, Lord, how am I supposed to make it? And he says, I don't know, but I'm here. All of a sudden, his presence, though you don't have all the answers, you know that he's in the room, you know it's going to be okay. Because he's filling that void. He's filling that presence. Do you need to see a breakthrough in your life? Then maybe you need to consider what fast it is he's choosing for you. Again, I feel the Lord's calling us as a church. And I'm inviting you to join me. Now that we've talked about it some, you have a little more understanding, to do a 40-day fast. Why? Because our world needs to see Jesus move in a mighty way. Wouldn't you agree with that? Don't we need to see, we need to see what's going on in our world. And we need to see what's going on in our world. Submit to the mighty hand of God.